We're going to pray again now. And sometimes when we pray, we put our hands together and close our eyes, don't we? And sometimes when we pray, it'd be dangerous to do that because we're driving. Not a good idea. Do pray while you're driving. Don't do it with your eyes closed. I'm going to invite you to prepare to pray to do four things. I'm going to say a number, and I'm going to invite you to do each of those four things. So when I say number one, I'm going to invite you to give yourself a little bit of a wiggle break. Get any silliness out of you. So faces and noises and everything are very welcome. So when I say number one, I'm expecting something like this. Yeah? I've got a nod on the front row. We're all right. Then when I say number two, I'm going to invite you to grab hold of, put your hand up and grab hold of God's hand. Number three, when you've got hold of God's hand, you're going to bring it down to your heart. Actually, there's only three instructions for this, not four. We're okay. And then we're going to pray. So are you with me? You're not going to just let me look silly at the front and you're all going to join in, aren't you? Maybe that too. Right. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. God of all, we come to you. We thank you that you came to earth to meet with us, to walk with us. We thank you for this story. We pray that we will learn more of you through it. This story of a colt untied. This story of a procession into Jerusalem. This story of people and even stones that would cry out who you are. May we learn more of it, and may we learn more of you. Amen. Amen. So, here we are. We are processing into Jerusalem on a donkey. This is not a mighty victory march. No one has won the FA Cup and have got a bus going through their town. This is much more like a picnic than a banquet. This is quite low-key, Jesus on a donkey. There is no red carpet. There is just some people's coats and some branches that we have turned into palm crosses today. But that's what people are doing. They're excited to see Jesus coming through, even though he's just riding on a lowly donkey and not a mighty horse. There's no chariots in this procession. And they wave their palm branches. They're pulling things off trees, which we know is bad. You're not meant to pull things off trees, but here you are. And they're laying down their coats, their cloaks. They're putting them to make their own red carpet for Jesus. And that is the first thing that we are called to do today. We are called to lay down our coats for Jesus. Now, I've been thinking about this. And I'm not sure I like the idea of putting my coat on the floor for Jesus and his donkey to walk over. And so I brought five of my coats with me. Those of you who saw me arrive just with this bundle of coats. And I'm going to try and work out which one that I might be okay putting on the floor. Let's have a look what I've got with me. Okay. Now this one is my winter coat. I imagine it'd be quite nice to walk on for that donkey and for the other people following behind because it's nice and furry on the inside. It's a good, thick, waterproof one. You don't go cold in this one. But not only is this comfortable and warm, it belonged to my dad. And before that, it belonged to my uncle. So it's a family heirloom that I wear each winter. So I'm not sure that bit of my identity, that bit of my security, my safety, my warmth, I'm not sure I want to put that down and lay that down for Jesus. So that's the first one. Now this one, if I put this one down, it will get ruined. This is one of those coats that if you wear it on any day, that isn't dry, but not too warm, and definitely has no... Like, it's one of those dry, clean-only ones that you can't wear in the rain. And before I lived in Swindon, I lived in Manchester. So, and before that, Lancaster. I've owned this coat since I was 21. I've probably worn it no more than once a year ever. because it's not the sort of coat you can wear. really. It's very pretty. I do like it. It was a 21st birthday present. The lining got slightly ripped already, so maybe it would be all right. But it would be a lot to put down and lay in front of a donkey, wouldn't it? Now this is my everyday coat. You can tell because my purse is in the pocket, like I'm that. It's my everyday normal coat I wear all the time. I bought this when out visiting a friend, so I always think of my friend Claire when I wear it. It's nice and bright and colourful. It's really useful. It keeps me dry. If I put it under a donkey, would that get damaged too? Then I wouldn't have a coat and then I would get wet. I'm not sure about this idea about putting coats in front of donkeys. Now, this one is my old everyday coat. My favourite colour is purple. I went through a number of years with purple coats. It's not as waterproof as it used to be. For some reason, I still have it hanging up in my hallway because you keep coats forever, don't you? I don't know. I keep everything forever. Maybe this one that I don't need it anymore. But this one still feels like this is what I feel like I look like. You know, sometimes you see someone walking in a coat and you recognise them instantly because that's their coat. Yeah? This is what I think I would look like. I obviously look more like that one now. But this is what I think I look like. So maybe this one I could just about put down on the floor if you walked over by a donkey. This coat is my useful ministry coat. Because sometimes you have to have a black coat, don't you? Sometimes I go out in jumpsuits that have got really fancy legs. Like imagine a pattern like this dress, but in a jumpsuit. And if you go out like that in that coat, you look ridiculous. So those are the days you have to put your black coat on, just to be a bit more sensible. Or, yeah, when there's some parts of my job when I have to look a bit more serious, then a black coat does that for me. But this is still waterproof. It's very useful. So this is my ministry coat. This is the one I put on when I'm doing my good Jesus work. So I don't want the donkey to wreck it. And do you know what? None of those people went through all of that hardship when they put down their cloaks. They put down their cloaks that was their security, that was their identity, that was something of who they are. And they laid them down. And they made a red carpet for Jesus to walk over. And Jesus doesn't often call us to put our coats on the floor. But he does sometimes call us to give up bits of our identity, to give up bits of our safety and security, and ask us to do strange, incredible, amazing things, and calls us to move to amazing places and do weird things sometimes. Who knew God was going to make Amy lead a whole dance troupe? And yet how wonderful and beautiful that is. Our comfort, our identity, our shelter are things that sometimes God says, I need you to lay down what you've got and trust in me. Sometimes, though, we're not called to be the people on the side of this story. Sometimes we're called to be the donkey. Go with me a second. The donkey who didn't have much say in the matter, but this donkey was untied. In the passage, four times, if you read on the screen, or three times if you were listening, so it depends on which version you were on, the donkey is mentioned being untied. The donkey, or the colt, is being untied. He needs to be untied because the master needs him. I wonder what knots stop you from doing things. What are the knots that need to be untied in your life that stop you from being able to lay down what Jesus requires, from being free to be the donkey that Jesus needs you to be? Sometimes those knots are not bits of rope, but those words that we put in front of things to say that we can't do things. Not me, not this, not here, not now. don't make me do this, God. How often do we have knots that hold us back? Jesus comes on Palm Sunday and, yes, asks us to lay down something of ourselves at times so that we can be more like him, that we can do more of his work, of his sharing the good news that Jesus is close. But Jesus also comes to untie the knots that stop us, that mean we don't believe we are good enough, because that is not what Jesus says to us. Jesus comes to untie the knots that say, I cannot do this, because Jesus says you can. Jesus calls us to do incredible, amazing things. And just like a person laying down their coat or a donkey being untied, we are called to do what God needs for us, because that is what the Master needs. Amen. We're going to sing together again now, When I See the Beauty. I want us to look again at the end of that story. Because it's not just about what the people there are shouting. But the idea that if they stopped shouting, the rocks would cry out instead. The rocks and the stones would cry out instead. And that's an interesting idea, isn't it? Let's think at what it is that they are saying. We've got these loud voices crying out, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. How powerful those words are. They know who Jesus is. They know who they're shouting for. How amazing it is to be part of this crowd. One of the other things we believe they said at that time was the shout of Hosanna. Now, do you know what Hosanna means? Do you know what Hosanna means? No, you're very good at shouting it. I like that. Thank you very much. That's exactly what was going on. I hadn't realised until a few years ago I heard a talk about a group who were translating the Bible into BSL, into British Sign Language. And Hosanna is one of those words that we haven't translated. There isn't an English word for Hosanna. We've just used the original. And then we kind of forget that we don't know what it means, because it means Hosanna, doesn't it? Hosanna is just Hosanna. And then they were trying to turn it into BSL. And so they decided they would use the signs for savers and freers to turn it into BSL. So Hosanna is not the same as Alleluia. It's not a, wow, God's amazing. It's a savers and freers. That's what the people are declaring about Jesus. Jesus, who they believe to be the King of glory, who they believe to be God on earth. And what they're shouting to him, what they're saying they need, is they need to be saved and freed. I'm going to invite you in a few moments to have a think about what the rocks might cry out. Not just yet, but have a start to think. What the stones will cry out, what would they be saying? What is it that you need to be saved and freed from? What is it that we need to be saved and free from, but we haven't got the words to declare, and we need the stones to do that for us? A good few years ago now, back when I was a children's worker, I was telling the story of Palm Sunday and saying, even the stones will cry out if the people can't. And a very clever 10-year-old, and I find that most 10-year-olds are very clever and know much more than I do, said, well, there is a stone that cries out, isn't there? And I looked at him in that like, you're going to have something either wise or ridiculous to say, and I don't know which way it is. It was definitely wise. He said, well, the stone that was rolled away from Jesus' tomb is the one that speaks out. And I've not been able to think of this story of Jesus saying the stones will cry out ever since I've heard that, without thinking of that kid and his wisdom, that the stone that will cry out in a week's time when we've journeyed through the ups and downs and awful nature of Holy Week and we get to Easter Day, there is one stone that will tell the story more than any other. So what do we need to be saved and freed from? What do we need the stones to cry out for? Because if we feel like we're at the end of what we can do for things. And how will it tell the story of this week? This amazing, incredible, horrendous week that we are starting to journey into as we step into Holy Week. So I'm going to invite you with those around you. If you're on a table, you should have one of these sheets and some pens. If you're not on a table, I'm going to invite you to use your imagination, but it's a piece of paper with some circles, rocks on. And it says, if the stones could cry out, what would they say? Just have a think about what you think the stones would cry out to God, would pray to God about who Jesus is and what we need in this world to be saved and freed from. Does that make sense? That's okay. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share from what they've been discussing in their little groups? Check that again. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share from their little group? Oh, we've got a hand up there.
What was that?
Oh, we've got a microphone coming from the back. This front table here first, and I think there's a hand there after. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll do it. So we went, rather than freeing us from it, we thought, what would... No, I'm joking. Okay, so we went for what would the rocks be shouting out at that moment? Mm. And we've got, go King, King of the Universe, Rescuer, Messiah, Holy, Holy, Holy. So we went, oh, Light, Friend, Jesus my friend. So we went for those words. We thought that's what we would be thinking the rocks would shout.
Yeah, those declarations of who Jesus is, those are really powerful things for the rocks to shout out. Thank you. Was there a hand over here? Yeah? And there's a hand here. Oh, good.
Freedom and peace.
Freedom and peace. I like that. I think this table here had one thought, I believe, was the rumour. But
we've got past... we have more now.
We've got three now. Well done.
We're going to do two, if that's all right.
Great.
So one of them is, I'm free to be me. We all are.
Mm. Another one, I'm adding something to the first bit. Hosanna, I'm tired of being thrown around.
Ooh. I like that. Anybody else got anything else? Oh, yeah, we're still going. Keep going across the front.
We got forgiveness and how we feel about something.
So what was the second part of that?
How we feel about something. Something.
Lovely. Anybody who's not sat on the front row got an idea? Oh, yeah, you were the second table, weren't you? Yeah. Right, I'm going to use some of those ideas. You keep hold of the microphone for now. Thank you. That's a good, important job. I'm going to use some of those ideas as our prayers of intercession. And in that, I'm also going to have some silence. There's other things that you want to add silently in your hearts. Please do for the things that you need the rocks to cry out for you. Let us pray. Go, King Jesus. You are our Messiah. You have come to save us. You are our rescuer. We pray for those who need rescuing. We pray for aid workers. We pray for medical staff. We pray for the emergency services across the world. For the work of those who rescue, that people can do in your name, loving, living God. May your saving power fill our earth. Loving God, Prince of Peace, we pray that your peace will reign in earth. We pray for the places that feel war-torn at this time. May your deep, rich, holy peace be present in our world. We pray with the rock that shouts, Hosanna, I'm fed up of being tossed and thrown around. For all people who feel like they're not in control of their lives, that they've been thrown out. We pray for your love and grace, that all may stand firm in you. We pray for our leaders and the leaders across the world, that decisions can be made, that laws and rules can be built, that show that everybody is made in your image and everybody has equal right for the important things they need for life. We bring our community to you, our families and our friends, the people we know and love who need your touch at this time. And we bring ourselves to you, asking for your forgiveness for the things we've got wrong. May we know your love, that we are free to be ourselves in all that we are. May you grant us freedom this day and always. Amen. We're going to join all those prayers together with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing our final song together now as we look to Holy Week and to what Jesus has in store. We sing When I Survey.